Welcome to the 2019 Calvary Chapel French Valley Men's Retreat. Our theme this year is strength training, growing daily in the things that really matter. God created men to be doers, but are men doing things that really matter? Ephesians 3 records a prayer by the Apostle Paul in which he refers to the inner man. In this series of four messages, we will seek to understand what Paul means by the inner man and why it is so important for men so that they can be doing things that really matter. So we thank you for this opportunity, God, as we take this time to get into something that may be one of the most important things that we really need to grab a hold of, that we would, Lord, be open to all that you want to say to us, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, welcome to session 3 of the Strength Training Men's Retreat. Turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 3. And if you want to jump ahead, you can also bookmark, thank you, 1 John chapter 4, because we're going to go there a little bit as well. As a quick recap, last night I shared that men are doers. God made us that way. And we talked about the two aspects of men, and we've been talking about it the whole weekend, this idea of the outward man, that part of us that interacts with the world, what we refer to as the flesh. It's your body, your physical body, as well as your desires, your strength, your passions, even your mind. And then we talked also about the inner man. We've been focusing on the inner man, that part of you that loves and is capable of responding to God. And we've been talking about the importance of really being able to differentiate between the two, because they often become blurred with one another, and we will sometimes be working, you know, one minute we're in the spirit and the next minute we're in the flesh, and we sometimes have troubles discerning between the two of them, and we need to be better equipped to tell which one is which and be able to know how to shift and when to shift from one to the other. I challenge you to examine yourself. Randy did the same thing, and I think it came up elsewhere during the day, this idea of checking yourself and examining yourself. It's one of the reasons why we come up like this. We separate ourselves from the rest of our lives because we want to check ourselves. We want to make sure. It's like, you know, taking your car to the mechanic. Here, check it out. You know, make sure it's working properly. And often we find, oh, there's a little something that needs to be fixed there, right? No, my mechanic, it's always not. I'm not JJ. Take it anywhere else. It's always $600. Always $600. Just $600. It's like they look for things until they find $600 worth of work. Never mind. Not. The inner man is that part of us that has access through the Holy Spirit to the strength of his might, the supernatural power of God. Now, we should desire that, right? We want to know how to access and to use the supernatural power of God. You know, Randy's message, and we get to it in a second, but Randy's message was that Christ, God, dwells in us. We also saw elsewhere that the Holy Spirit, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We've got God the Son and God the Holy Spirit in us. That's a lot of power, right? It's all there. We have access to it, but we only have access to it through the inner man. The outer man has no access to that. I gave you four exercises to strengthen the inner man. Be humble or pray. Ask God to strengthen the inner man. Be spiritual. Recognize that everything in life is spiritual in some way. There's a spiritual component. There's a spiritual element. There's a spiritual undertone to everything that happens in our lives. Everything. Be trusting. Learn to trust God to act on your behalf. It's not all about you. It's not all you. You don't have to make it happen. God wants to work in our lives, but we have to trust him to do that. And then I finish by saying, be obedient. When God wants you to do something, when should you do it? When you feel like it. When your wife nags you long enough to actually do it. No, do it now. This morning, Randy shared the amazing reality that if you are a Christian, Christ dwells in your heart. And I don't think we reflect upon that enough. The reality that God, I often say this at church, you know, God's in you. How much of him? All of him. I mean, how can you actually say or think that without it just filling your heart and your mind with amazement and awe and wonder? Like, I want to say, how do you do that, God? And he says something like, shut up, it's none of your business. Just do what I told you. And then he explained how the indwelling experience is experienced through faith. And he gave us two exercises to strengthen the inner man. He said, examine yourself. Do you even have faith? Are you even saved? We got to ask ourselves that question. Are you even saved? Because if you are, there ought to be evidence of that. We ought to be able to say with absolute certainty, yep. And if somebody comes up and says, you know, asks you a question, are you going to heaven? If you can't say with absolute certainty and conviction, yep, then you need to deal with that. Because that's where we ought to be. We ought to be as Christians in that place where we can say with absolute certainty. Because my Bible says that if you have Christ, there is no question about, there is no if. It's an absolute certainty in your life, and you ought to stand and walk in that certainty. You know, is your faith real? Is it complete? And the answer is probably, that second question is probably no. But is it where it ought to be for right now? You know, are you lagging behind where God would have you to be? If so, then you need to do something about that. This retreat is based on a prayer by the Apostle Paul for the people in the church in Ephesus. So let's look at what we've read so far in Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 17. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith. You know, we're going to look at the verses for tonight. Continuing in verse 17, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Pastor Randy said this morning, and quoting him, as we strive to strengthen the inner man, we must gain an understanding and awe that Creator God wants to dwell in our heart. And that ought to, like I said, it ought to, if you can say that without experiencing some measure of awe, you need to question whether or not you know Jesus at all. Because it ought to be something to just fills you with the sense of his presence, because that's exactly what it's saying. He's present right now in you. Turn to 1 John 4. The inner man is the dwelling place of God. That's amazing. There's another one here as we go. We're going to come back to Ephesians, but go to 1 John chapter 4. Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that he knows you too, right? And loves you anyway. Yeah, he loves us, and it's a radical thing. It's not like when I say I love a good pastrami sandwich, right? It's not the same. It's a different thing. Paul says that the love of Christ passes knowledge, that it is this amazing thing. In 1 John 4, verse 9 says this, in this, the love of God was manifest, it was revealed, was shown toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. God said, I want them to see my love. And so the way, he says, this is the way I'm going to do it. I am going to send my Son to save them so that they can see my love. Real love is visible, is manifested, can be seen. And what's important to our context here is that it's the inner man that experiences the love of God, not the outer man. It's the inner man that knows and experiences and can, in fact, share the love of God. The outward man cannot know it, cannot experience it. It can benefit from it, but it can't really know it. You know, this is why many people, many men and women, feel unloved, lonely, empty, and so many other descriptions. It's because they are not sensing something that their heart was created for. Our hearts were created to be the temples of God. That's what they were created for. They were created to be filled with the love of God, to experience and know the love of God. And when that's not present, there is emptiness. There is hollowness. There is unfulfillment. There's all these things that we see people talking about in society today. It's because they don't have the love of God. Or if they are Christians, they are so disconnected from Him that they're not actually experiencing it. The outward man controls their lives. There's no inner man interacting with God in a way that helps them to experience it. And because they're looking for love, and typically they're doing it with the outward man, all they're finding is something empty and shallow and hollow. The outward man is perishing. And so if we're looking for something that is eternal, we're looking for something that is complete, we're looking for something that is fulfilling, we're looking for all these things that our heart was designed to crave, and we're doing it with the outward man, there is only disappointment. There's only despair that can come from that, because those things are not available to the outward man. They must be appropriated by the inner man. The inner man is the only one that can know God's love the way that it's described here. As men, we don't often put that much emphasis on love. Yeah, when it comes to entertainment, we use the derogatory term chick flick to describe some sappy love story, right? I'd rather have a root canal than watch a chick flick. I'm telling you, God's still working on me. And that may change someday. Romans 5 says something. Romans 5:5 says that God poured His love into our heart. If you had known me before, I had a very small circle of people that I would say I loved. Very small. And most of them lived in my house. Beyond that, I didn't love people. And I was reflecting on that, literally reflecting on it as I was sitting there during worship and thinking, when did that change? Because I know it changed. That's, matter of fact, I would say to you, that's one of the ways that I know I was saved. If you can look at your life, there are things in your life that prove the fact that Christ saved your soul. And for me, one of them was that there was a point where I started to recognize something in my life, that I started recognizing the love of God had been poured into my heart. When? The moment Christ saved me. The moment I was saved, God poured His love into my heart. And because of whatever God was doing in me, there was a point where I started to experience that and understand it and know it. And as I was reflecting upon it, I can tell you exactly where it happened. Maybe not when, but where. And it was in that Bible study that we did together. Some 20-odd years ago, you know, Dennis and I were, I was leading a Bible study, and I don't know why I invited this weird guy to come, but he came, and it was there that I started to experience something that I didn't understand. Because I had been at this church, and it was a fairly, relatively friendly church, and I'd be around these guys, and they would say, "Love you, brother. Love you, man." And I'm thinking, ooh, that's a little weird. A man loves another man. This is 20 years ago, so it was a little weirder back then. And then in that study, that started to change in me. And I can remember at some point experiencing and sensing, I love these guys. And I, at some point, it became something that I actually got the courage up one day to say that out loud. And to the point now where it's not that unusual for me. In fact, there are times where I'll be having a conversation with somebody, out in the world. And now we're getting ready to take off or whatever, and I'll say, love you, brother. And I've had people give me the weirdest looks. What you talking about, Willis? I know that. That's not in me. That was not natural to Rick, because for over 40 years, the natural Rick did not love people. I didn't love them. Even what I was calling love before that was not really love. It wasn't bad. I wasn't a bad guy, and I was fairly nice to people, but I didn't know love. I didn't give love, not really. Go back to Ephesians chapter 3. In Paul's prayer for the Ephesians inner man to be built up in love, we're going to see three parts. And I'm going to get a little geeky here with the Greek, so bear with me. There's a purpose for it. But in these three parts, we're going to look at the verbs, because verbs in the Greek are very powerful, and they often say things that don't translate easily into English. They're not something we can just, you know, throw a definition to and have an easy understanding of it. But one of the parts of Greek language is something called voice. And don't ask me why it's called that. I have no clue. I took a semester of Greek, one whole semester of Greek. I don't know that much. But each part of Paul's prayer regarding love is in a different voice. And I think that's important, especially the way it flows. And this was one of the cool things that I discovered as I was studying this text. I had never seen it before. I had never studied it. I had not to that level. And so as I was going through this one little section, I discovered something that personally I think is very, very cool. First part, he says in verse 17 that it is rooted and grounded. Verse 17, let me read that again. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted means established, and the image there is, it's kind of described in the word, is the idea of a tree whose roots are well established in the ground, that they are firm in the ground. And grounded has the idea of strengthen, the idea of a foundation, so something that is solid. So roots being stable or firm and solid. Paul is praying that our inner man would be immovable in the love of Christ, that it would be firm, that it would be solid, that nothing could shake us from the love of Christ. Both rooted and grounded are in the passive voice. And what that means, we talked about that earlier, is that mean that the subject is being acted upon by an outside force. That's what passive voice refers to. And the you in this particular context is the subject, that is the Ephesians, are being acted upon by an outside force. And by extension, that means all believers. All believers in the context of what Paul is saying are being acted by an outside force, and the outside force is God. That God is acting on behalf of all believers to root and ground them in the love of Christ. See, this is outside force, that God, through the Holy Spirit, is rooting and grounding us in the love of Christ. The sovereign work of God to root us and ground us in, to make us firm and solid in the love of Christ. I love that. That's his job. It's not my job to keep me solid and rooted in the love of Christ. It's God's job. It's his work. Thankfully for me that God always does his work, right? He always gets it done. And we ought to, just as Paul prayed this over the Ephesians, we ought to be praying it over our lives and praying it over all the lives of people, anyone that's important to us. We ought to pray that very thing. But there's two other things that we got to look at. The second part of this is able to comprehend. Verse 18, that may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, ultimately, of the love of Christ. To comprehend means to grasp intellectually. Ooh, that's an interesting thought. He's saying he's praying that they will be able to comprehend how big God's love is. That they will intellectually get a hold of how big God's love is. How big is God's love? It's big. It's infinite. It's actually immeasurable. There's no place to measure it. I want to back it up here. As we're seeing this, he's praying they'd be able to comprehend, to grasp it intellectually, how big it is. But he's not referring to the infinite love of God. He's referring to the love of Christ. And he's referring to the love of Christ as it manifested in the incarnate God, Son of God, in Jesus Christ, when he was here, when he was God become flesh, when he walked upon this earth, he manifested, he revealed the love of God, the love of God that I believe that Paul is referring to here. So while the love of God is immeasurable, the love of Christ can be seen, can be measured, can be evaluated, that we can grasp it intellectually. This is how Jesus loved. He showed us how he loved. He showed it day by day, moment by moment, event by event. He showed us how to love, how God's love works in real life. The rooted and grounded, those two verbs were in the passive tense. Comprehend is in the passive voice. Comprehend is in the middle voice. That one's different. There's still an outside force at work, but the subject is not passive. The subject is also active. And so there's this image or picture of cooperation. So comprehending the love of God, it still has an element of the sovereign work of God, but also has the part where we play a role in comprehending the love of God. There's still this outside force, but this sense of cooperation. The key, I believe, to understanding this idea of comprehending the love of God might be easily overlooked as you're reading through this verse, but I believe it's found in the phrase, with all the saints. How do we comprehend the height, width, depth, and length of the love of Christ? We do it with all the saints. Christianity is not a solo sport. Never invented to be lived alone. Never meant to be done by yourself. It's always been meant to be a team event, a community of believers. Guys, biblical manhood is under attack, has been for decades now. And we've seen in the last decade an explosion of attack upon biblical manhood. In fact, calling biblical manhood, calling it toxic. You know, if you act like a man, like the Bible says you ought to act like man, some refer to that as being toxic. Men are feeling empty, lost, hopeless, unloved, because they are not rooted and grounded in love. And I believe one of the number one reasons why that is because they're not with all the saints. They're out there doing whatever they're doing in whatever other community they are, but they're not connected to the body of Christ. And because they're not connected to the body of Christ, they're not experiencing the comprehending work of God with all of the saints. In Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says this, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. One another. We got to do that one another to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Listen, we have a whole generation of men and women that are struggling to see the purpose of the church. They don't see the purpose. They don't see the point. And so they said, okay, well, I'll be spiritual somewhere else. I'll get my spirituality somewhere else. if the width, length, depth, and height of the love of Christ is comprehended in the community of Christ, what does that mean to those who will not engage in the community of Christ? It means they can't know that. They can't comprehend it. And if you can't comprehend the width and length and depth and height of the love of Christ, then you can't be rooted and grounded in his love. And you're left empty and lost and lonely and unloved. At least that's what you're feeling. If someone is not interested in being a part of the community of Christ, if they're not actively involved, because there's an active part in comprehending the love of Christ. You've got to, you know, God's going to do his part, but in that voice, that means I've got a role to play too. I've got to be engaged in the Bible, experience it in all of the one another ministries that we see throughout the New Testament. If you're not doing that with all the saints, then you cannot be rooted and grounded in love. It's not possible to do it apart from community. And if you aren't rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, what are you rooted and grounded in? What is the foundation? What is God in your life if you're not rooted and grounded in the love of Christ? Third part, know the love of Christ. Verse 19, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Paul's prayer is that they would know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Now, that's kind of an odd thing on the surface, isn't it? To know something that passes knowledge, which the sense is that it exceeds knowledge, that it is unknowable. How do you know something that's unknowable or unknown? The word know there means the idea of attained through experience, attained knowledge through experience. You know, I can say that I love a good pastrami sandwich because I have experienced a good pastrami sandwich by eating one, right? I mean, that makes sense. I know what a good pastrami sandwich is because I have experienced it. You know, Paul's prayer is that they would experience the love of Christ, which cannot be understood apart from Christ. That's what he's talking about. He wants you to know something that cannot be experienced any other way. You cannot experience the love of Christ through any other mechanism. You can't, you know, climb on some mountain. You can't, you know, go to the depths of the sea. You can't, you know, practice some religion. You can't buy it. You can't discover it on your own. None of those things are possible. There's only one way to discover the love of Christ, which you need if you want to be a fully fledged believer in Jesus Christ, experience the fullness of the ultimate. I don't want to preach your message yet. I want to preach it. I'm not gonna. We have got to know the love of Christ. The word know in that verse is in the active voice. The rooted and grounded is in the passive, meaning it's all God doing it. The comprehending is in the middle voice, which means that God's still working, but I'm playing a role in it. The active voice means it's on me. Now, God never stops working, so he's playing a role in that, but most of it is on me. I need to do my work. Turn back to 1 John 4. Knowing the love of Christ is something that I am to actively pursue. I have to go after it. And I'm going to give you three exercises so that you can know the love of Christ in your inner man. The only place you can know it is in the inner man. That's the only place you can experience the love of Christ is in the inner man. Nowhere else. Three exercises. I'm going to read verses 9 through 16. This is kind of a long read, but bear with me. 1 John 4, 9, 16. Oop, I'm in Ephesians. Maybe I'll turn where I'm going to read. And this is the love of God. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means atoning sacrifice or substitutionary sacrifice. verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. There's that again, that concept again. And his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Remember the temple, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He is in us. Verse 14, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Radical, powerful verses that talk about the reality that God lives in us and God is love. So one of the characteristics that ought to come out of a Christian is love. It ought to be one of the things that marks us as different from the rest of the world. All of those verses that I just read come straight out of the inner man. It's all about the inner man. Now, ultimately, all of this stuff influences the outer man. It results in coming out of us in the doings that we do. But if we're doing the doings that we do with the outer man, then they're perishing. But if the doings we're doing are coming out of the inner man, those are being renewed day by day. They are eternal. They're glorious. They are flavored with the love of God, the love of Christ. Amazing stuff. Three exercises I want to give you. You know, knowing the love of Christ, as Paul said to the Ephesians, requires action on my part. I've got to do something. You cannot passively know the love of Christ. It's not something I'm just going to lay here in bed until I feel. I'm going to go, like Chuck did earlier today, I'm going to go lay on a rock until I feel the love of Christ. No, it doesn't work like that. What did he do? He fell asleep. That's what happens when you do that. You've got to be active at it. The very first thing we have to do is actively love one another. Actively love one another. When I say actively, I'm not talking about, hey, love your brother. See ya. See ya next year, the next retreat. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not active. Let's read verse 12 again. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. The word love can be either a verb or a noun. It's used both ways. In fact, in this verse, it is used both ways. In the first occurrence of love, there is the verb, and that verb is in the present tense, active voice. That means it's something that's being done actively by the subject, and it's being done right now. And how long does right now last? It continues. It's idea that it's always right now. Wherever you are in time, it is right now. That's what's being talked about there. It's something that we just do. We do it, and we do it, and we do it, and we do it. It's active. It's present tense, active voice. I keep doing it. The second love is the noun love, and it's followed by the word perfected, which means completed or finished. The idea of being built up, that as I actively love one another, we actively love our brothers and sisters in Christ, actively loving them, you know, showing them the love of Christ, it perfects our love, the love that we experience of Christ, the love that we know of Christ. That experiential knowledge of the love of Christ happens as we are actively loving one another. Again, another reason why it's so important for us to be actively connected and involved in the body of Christ, because you cannot know the love of Christ if you're not actively loving the body of Christ. The two are absolutely connected together. If we're not actively loving the body of Christ, then we are not growing in our knowledge of the love of Christ. We can't grow in the knowledge of the love of Christ without that. You know, the question that ought to come to mind is, well, how do you know how to do that? How do you know how to love, actively love one another? Turn back a page or two to 1 John 2. Yeah, here's a question. How many ways are there to love someone? Probably a lot, right? Countless ways you can love one another. How many right ways do you think there are? Probably one right way. What is the right way to love someone? Well, let's read 1 John chapter 2. And I figured I'd get some frowns on that one. Verse 3. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his suggestions. Commandments. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought to himself also walk just as he walked. Who's the he in that context? Jesus. What is the right way to love someone? The way Jesus would do it. Jesus would do it. He would love them. Yeah, and there's this old saying, you know, what would Jesus do? Maybe remember those bumper stickers? And God, they had everything. You could t-shirts and bracelets. You could. The second exercise to know the love of Christ. I'm just going to ignore that for right now. I'll deal with that at the fire pit. In love, of course. It is keep his word. Keep his word. Actively love one another. And the second thing is keep his word. Jesus said in Matthew 22 that the two greatest things that we can do with our lives is to love God and to love others. And he said, in doing that, you're fulfilling the whole law, which you can understand then that if you flip that around, that in doing the law, fulfilling the law the way that God intended it, then teaches us how to love God and to love others. And if you study the law, that's what it proves to you. It shows you how to love God and how to love others. And Jesus just summarized that. Say, love God, love others. As we keep God's commands and actively expressing love to one another, his love is being perfected in us. This is a call for obedience. There is a right way to love someone. Now, it may vary based on circumstance, based on situation. Wherever we get to, there ought to be get to a place where we say, okay, if Jesus were right here in my place, how would he love this person? How would he do it? And that is the right way to do it. Now, all of us, now that's not that easy to do. As we get to know that, we got to try to figure out, what does that mean? What does that look like? How do you actually execute that? Well, I'm glad you asked, because there actually is an answer to that. How do we obey the commands if we don't know the commands? If we are to actively love one another, and to the best way to love one another is to obey God's commands, then by extension, what ought we to do? We ought to know God's commands. Number three, third exercise, love his word. To love one another the right way, the right way. The way Christ would love them in my place, thus perfecting my knowledge of the love of God, the love of Christ. It must be in obedience to God's word, but to obey God's word, I must know God's word. The better I know God's word, the better able I am to understand how Jesus would love someone in that circumstance at that time, understanding all the circumstances of my life as well as I do. Okay, there is a right way to do this. Psalm 119, 127, therefore I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. Early in my faith, God caused me, and I believe this was something God implanted in my heart, that it was something, it was not something that I just developed or anything like that. I believe God implanted in my heart a love for his word. that it was a gift that he gave me. It was something he was trying to accomplish, and he's the only way that Rick is going to get this is if I just give him my love for my word. And I can tell you, you know, Dennis can tell you, I didn't know very much about God's word, but you could tell I loved God's word, and I still love it. I actively love God's word, and that's key. It's not just enough to say you love anything. If you say you love God's word, for it to be real, it must be an active love. I have actively loved God's word for over 22 years now. And I do that by reading it. Almost every day. Rarely is there a day that I don't read God's word. And it's not because I'm religious or any of those things. I love spending that time in God's word. I try to make it the very first thing I do in the morning. Is to spend time and read God's word. I will make the time to do that. I'll get up early, even if I don't get enough sleep. I'm going to get up, I'm going to spend that time in God's word because I love his word. I also actively love God's word by meditating on it. I actively love his word by talking to people about it, by teaching it, by sharing it with others. Trying to instill with them the love that I have. One of the things I want to communicate anytime somebody sits in front of me and hears me teach is that, hey, this guy loves God's word. He believes it and he loves it. I want them to know that. Because if they can sense that, then maybe that will catch out there as well. That they'll get that too. To know Christ's love, we need to actively love one another. And to love one another the right way, we need to obey God's commands. And to obey God's commands, we need to actively love his word. And doing that will cause you to experience God's love. You'll experience it. By experiencing it, it's like, you know, eating that pastrami sandwich. Okay, I've experienced that. I know what that tastes like. I know what that feels like. And there are times, you're gonna find those times when you're doing something and you're going to experience the love of Christ. You're going to feel it inside of you. You're not going to be able to explain it. You're not going to be able to describe it to people. You're going to experience it. And as you do that, you're going to get in this place where you start to recognize, you know what, I like that a lot. I think I want to do that again. And you start to grow and you desire it more and more and more. And you do those things that help you to experience it more and more. And as you experience Christ's love, it will enable you to comprehend, to intellectually grasp the width and depth and length and height of Christ's love as you interact with all the saints, which will result in God rooting and grounding you in his love in your inner man. Brothers and sisters, we are being pushed around. We are being tempted one direction and another. Did I say sisters? Yeah. Well, some of you might need that. take it if you own it. That's all I'm saying. Take it if you own it. You know, that God wants you to stand firm. And there are so many influences trying to move us, trying to draw us away from stability, from strength, from the power that God has given us. Brother, you got to get this. Guys, get this. God lives in you. And all of his power is with him. You are never powerless. You have the infinite power of Creator God dwelling within you. There is nothing that can't accomplish. Nothing that it can't accomplish. And as we find ourselves in a place rooted and grounded in God's love, recognizing that it is his love that saved you, it's his love that brought you to this place, and that everything that comes into your life is touched by his love, is colored by his love, is influenced by his love. It doesn't matter what it is. Every single bit of it is part of how he's communicating love to you, even in those things that are absolutely miserable and terrible. There's an element where he's trying to communicate his love to you. And we start to understand that if we're rooted and grounded in love, we will never see anything that comes into our life as anything other than the love of God being manifested to us, even in those things that we don't like. And that will change the way you view this world, the way you view this life. And you won't be so pushed around when that storm smacks you. You're not going to be so blown away by it. You're not going to be shipwrecked by it. But you're going to recognize, wait a minute. Sovereign God over the entire universe loves me with a kind of love that I will never fully understand, but I can comprehend the love that Christ has poured out for me. And so I can sense, okay, whatever this is happening, I don't understand it, I don't like it very much, but God is still the God of love. He is still love. And because of that, I can stand in this firm. If you will allow that process to take place, you allow the inner man to interact with God in that way, where you are doing your part. You're doing the part where it says, okay, I'm supposed to be active in knowing, experiencing the love of Christ. And there's ways that I can do that. There's ways that I can experience the love of Christ. One of the ways that I do it is by loving other people. As I love other Christians, especially other Christians, but anyone, if I can love them, okay, I'm going to start learning how the love of Christ operates, how it works. I'm going to start experiencing it myself. I do that as I get to know God better and better through his word, and as I understand him more and more. Listen, if you will do that, you will stand firm in your faith, strengthened with God's might in the inner man. That kind of man can change the world. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence here today. We ask, Lord God, as we come to the end of the session and we prepare our hearts to go and sit around the fire and do business with God, I pray, Lord, that we would recognize that your presence, you are God, you live in us, and you poured your love into us, and your desire is that we would know the love of Christ. We would know it in such a way that we would understand it, we would see it, we would experience it and taste of it and know it and love it so much that we would desire to be involved with all the saints, that they might experience with us what we know, that we might comprehend just how big your love is. And that by doing that we can be rooted and grounded in that love, that Lord God, you will do that, that you will make us firm, that you will make us secure, that you will make us solid in our faith, so that no matter what comes into our lives, whether it be good or bad, that we will not be moved from our place, but we will be solid in our faith, strengthened with the supernatural might of God. I thank you for these men. I pray for them. Lord God, I pray as Paul prayed, that they would know the love of Christ, that they would comprehend with all the saints how wide, how deep, how long, how high your love is, Jesus. And that, Father God, that you would root and ground us in our faith, all of us, in such a way that we would manifest that love unashamedly to the world around us, so that they might know that there's a God in heaven that loves them too. I thank you for these men. I pray for your blessing on them, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening to this session of Strength Training. This is part of a 4-message series. To listen to all the messages in this series, go to calvaryfv.com/strengthtraining. There you can find out more about Calvary Chapel French Valley and the men's ministry. If you found this message useful, please consider sharing it with someone who might appreciate it. All the teachings from Calvary Chapel French Valley can be found wherever podcasts are found. We would love to hear from you. We respond to all comments and questions. Thank you again for listening. Please do not hesitate to reach out if there is anything we can do for you. God bless you.